Man, how are we all doing? I already asked that, but I always feel like after worship, hope we're doing better. So, I was not honored to be with you last week, but I felt that it was appropriate. Can we turn the just down a little bit? Thanks. I felt that it was appropriate just to talk to everyone. It's been a heavy few weeks. It has been hard to grasp. I'm not sure if, am I off now? I think it's a little, can you turn it up a little bit? We can't hear anything. All right. But it's just been heavy, and I'll be honest. It was probably a good thing that I was at men's retreat last week, because my mind was all over the place. I think I went through the whole process. I was upset about what I was hearing. Then I became sad. Then I became angry and frustrated. And being up there last week, it was just hard to know that I'm like, I wanted to be here. I wanted to talk to you guys. I wanted to just debrief everything, but I was very fortunate to just take that time to really just rest. That's one thing we talked about while we were up there was honoring the Sabbath. And in that rest time, I feel like, I feel like I changed a lot. If you're anything like me, and I think it's you are, because we're all human, right? We all have emotion. We all feel things. We all go through things. The events that happened with Charlie Kirk and everything else going around our world, it really just, I think, a switch went off. Things felt different, and they still feel different. And it's just, okay, what do we do with that? How do we process it? And while I was up there praying, I just really got this conviction that I can't be the same pastor that I've been for the last 15 years. I can't be quiet. I can't be nonchalant. I can't be timid in a lot of the things because we don't live in a world that can be timid. We don't. And one of the things that I caught myself worrying about is I think we all worry too much about what people think rather than what God thinks. Amen? I think we feel that, okay, what is this social media? What are these friends on Facebook, TikTok, whatever you go to? What are they going to think of my post? What are they going to think of what I say? What are they going to think about what's happening? And we kind of scale back. But it clicked up. It clicked while I was praying. It was like, what does God think about me? And we, in the world that we're living in, we can't worry about what the world thinks. We need to worry about what God thinks. And unfortunately, and I'm talking about Charlie Kirk, but there was so much more that was going on than the assassination of Charlie Kirk. We have the school shootings. We have, I can't pronounce her name. I can try. Arinya, right? Arinya Zarutska, okay? We have Melissa Hortman and her husband a few months ago. We have all these things going on. We have the school shootings. Everything is just compiled. But unfortunately, what we saw a few weeks ago was so public, and it just, I don't even know how to process it still. You know, it's not something that people should have seen. It's not something that people should have gone through. And it stopped me dead in my tracks because our kids literally witnessed a murder within minutes. Within minutes, it was on my feed. And I was like, wow, the world that we live in. And so while I don't diminish everything else that's going on, but the assassination that happened was so public. It's hard to not talk about it. Okay? But the world, by seeing that, the world is dying, spiritually and literally dying. And one thing it taught, one thing that, I wouldn't say it taught me, but there's one thing that really spoke to me during this is that how can I, as a pastor, be so quiet about my faith in certain times when we have things that are going on in the world like we do? And you may not have agreed with Charlie Kirk. You may not have listened to him. You may, honestly, a lot of people may not have even known who he was before this, and they had to research it, okay? But what saddens me is the amount of people that I realized are so quiet, especially in their faith. And then following the events, we not only had to go through that, but I saw the evil of the world front and center. I have never in my life seen people publicly praise death ever like that. And I just, it really honestly, it pisses me off. It's hard to say that up here as a pastor. I'm like, I can't say certain words, but it does. I'm human. It made me mad to see that. And it's just hard because that's not something we need to, that we should be going through. But it should wake us up. It should wake us up to realize what we have seen in the past few months, and it has been building. And we can't go on. We can't go on living like this. The world needs to see the gospel of Jesus Christ. The world needs to experience the gospel of Jesus Christ. When it says in John 14, 16, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. And we need to be bold enough to point people to Jesus. And the fact that people are celebrating a death and posting it just made me sick to my stomach. Because life in all forms, in all political parties, in all types of people, life is life. And God loves you. And I want everyone to hear that. God loves you. Because in Genesis 1:27, it says, God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. So when I see what's going on, when I see these people and I see all these people mocking and making fun of, but then we hear about the shootings and just these names are popping up on my feed, and I honestly, I did some research. I'm like, I want to know what's going on around the world. And while people are pointing fingers, I didn't see the names of these people. I saw child of God, child of God, child of God, child of God, child of God. That's what I saw. And among these names and so many more, we see the children of God. So every one of these people was a child of God. And the world desperately needs to hear the saving grace of Christ. And we need to be bold to say it. We need to be powerful enough through Christ to stand up. And one last thing I want to speak into, and I wish I didn't have to get into this, but it's probably one of the things that made me most sick about everything that I've seen, and it's the amount of religious leaders that I've seen on social media pushing their own agenda, pushing their own political preference, pushing the ideals of this person's life was not more than this person's life. And I'm going to tell you one thing, that it doesn't matter if someone says they're a reverend, a preacher, a pastor, a religious leader. It doesn't matter if their name's put on a door in the church. If you see or witness or are going to a place that is not sharing the gospel message of Jesus Christ, leave and don't listen to them. That is the best warning that I can give you with everything going on right now. Do not listen to them. Because in Matthew 7, it tells us and it reminds us, it says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. And what this means is while we see online, we see in churches, we see behind pulpits, even if their title says they have a godly status, that does not mean that they have a godly status. Because the words that are coming out of their mouth show their true spirit. And I warn us all right now in these times that social media is rampant, that we can type and find anything we want. I warn us all in this time that those people are not men and women of faith if they do anything other than point you to Jesus Christ. Okay? So, we need to share the gospel. And another thing we need to remember is Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I know that we can be angry. I know that we can just feel frustration. Some of us feel things in different ways. But ultimately, we all are sinners. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. We all need saving. We all need redemption. So I just want to remind us as Christians, if you call yourself Christian, if you have faith, that everything that we do, however we respond online, the things that we say to our friends, needs to come from the Spirit of Christ and only from there. And it doesn't mean that we can't get angry. It doesn't mean that we can't be frustrated, because I think that's one thing that that the church has lost in some ways, is that we're too scared to speak up. Because we're like, oh, we're supposed to be humble and gentle and stuff, which is true. But we're also supposed to speak truth in a dark world. And sometimes that truth needs to be said loudly for people to hear. Amen? So today, what I wanted to talk about is, honestly, I didn't know what I wanted to talk about until just a few days ago. Because if anybody knows me, I am a person that plans ridiculously far ahead. It's probably not good for my health because I change my mind a lot too. So that combination just means I work too hard. So what I normally do is I have every sermon outline through Christmas. And while I was up in Lake Tahoe with Lee and all the other men from our district, I realized I threw everything away. Not literally, because that would be throwing my computer away. But that file is irrelevant to me now. Those sermons, I can't preach in the same way, feeling the way I feel, feeling that the world needs to hear it. So from now on, as your pastor and as a Christian, I would love you to stand with me, but I want our church to boldly proclaim the gospel as loudly as we can. And from now on, we're not going to shy away. Not that we were, but we're going to go even further. We're going to stand even stronger. We're going to be even louder because the world needs it. The world needs to hear it. So when I was thinking this week, how do I talk? What do you want me to say, God? Like, how do we go through this process? It reminded me that, okay, let's get back to basics. Remember that phrase? Still rings true today, right? Let's get back to basics. And I was listening to Jermaine last week, and he really hit on it, is that, you know, we need to be the salt and light of the world. We need to be that to the world, because without that, the world is in decay. The world is just going to fall, and we need to be the salt and light. So I was like, oh, let's go back to that. But we're going to go right before that. He touched on the Beatitudes a little bit, if I remember correctly. But if when I ask myself, God, how do you want me to live? What do you want me to do in these times? How do you want me to react to friends, to social media, to the news, to what I'm seeing on a daily basis? How do I react? And I feel that we should start with the Beatitudes. Okay? So if you have your Bibles or if you have your phones, if you want to look on there, the Bibles are under the chairs. We're going to be in Matthew 5, starting in verse 1. And I'm going to read it completely first, 1 through 12, and then we'll dive into that. But actually first, let's pray. Amen. Let's pray for this message. Let's pray for our world. Sound good? All right, I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. I pray right now that as we dive into your words, that you would give us a bold and new energy for you, Lord. I pray that you would fill us with the Spirit and just continue to guide us so that from today forward, we would stand firm in our faith and boldly claim the gospel in your name to those around us. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so starting in verse 1, Matthew 5, says, Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And he said, Blessed are those are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So we start. First thing that we point to in this, where we start, is the teaching of Jesus. Jesus, before this, in Matthew 4, Jesus has been healing the sick. The crowds have been gathering. He's been speaking. And the crowds have just continued to gather. So he decides, okay, I'm going to go up on this mountainside and I'm going to sit and teach them. So he goes up. And in this verse, in these verses, Matthew 5 through 7 contains the first of five major sermons and speeches that Jesus has recorded in Matthew. And he begins with the Beatitudes. And the way I see it is, beginning with the Beatitudes means they're pretty darn important. He begins with this when this is like, it's fresh in our mind, when we're paying attention. You know, if we're older, we can pay attention a little longer, right? Nowadays, the reason why TikToks and all the reels are 60 to 90 seconds is because that is about how much time you have before squirrel moments, right? So Jesus starts with the Beatitudes. And it's great because Beatitudes show us what kingdom people look like. So in a world that we're living in, that we are faced with today, that we have to be around, the Beatitudes say, this is what a kingdom-minded person looks like. And it's amazing because we also have Jesus Christ, who is the perfect example of this. So we get to hear it, but then through Jesus, we get to see it. Because through Jesus, he doesn't just give information, he gives transformation. And through his life, he allows us to learn how to live holy lives in a broken world so we can point people and show love to those who need Christ. So when we fall into anger or pointing fingers or these rants, we are following the examples of the world. But these verses show us how to follow the example of God and how he wants us to live. So that's why I said earlier, if you see or hear people or pastors not pointing you to Jesus Christ, even if they have a title, don't listen to them and walk away. Because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. So if there is anybody sharing other than the news out of this book, they're leading you astray rather than leading you to him. So the Beatitudes reveal the characteristics of God. So we start off with, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus humbled himself to the will of the Father, even when he was equal with God. In Philippians 2, verse 6 through 8, it says, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And we also see in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, not my will, but yours be done, in Luke. So Jesus shows right from the start, complete dependence on the Father. So what does this mean for us? How do we start this? So in today's reality, where the world would tell us, follow pride, arrogance, and this constant push to say, I'm right, you're wrong, and then where social media pushes this agenda, that's what the world says what we would do. But what God says, our response should instead be not joining the shouting match, and admit our deep need for God. When the world says blessings come from power, success, wealth, Jesus says blessings begin when we realize we can't do anything without him, that we are nothing without him. So the verse teaches us to depend on God rather than chasing the treasures of this world. Because the true treasure is the kingdom of heaven that freely is given to those who accept Christ in their heart. And then we move on to, blessed are the mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn. We live in a time where the world is sad. We saw that firsthand. And if, like I said, it was a different feeling for me. I've been sad before, but I've never felt that kind of sad. And when I read this, it made sense, because while the world thinks that we should like mourn and cry over like our comforts of what the world gives us, Jesus teaches that we should mourn sin and its effects. So that deep gut feeling of what people witnessed, seeing, is a human reaction to sin is not a normal thing in this world that we should accept, that we should understand and strive for. That's one of the hardest things, is that over time, it's like we've been trained to not think that this is wrong. We've been brainwashed by the world to say that this is normal. Just let this seep in. Just let your mind drift a little bit. But it's not normal. We can even go back, like not even that long ago, okay? 50s, 60s, let's go back even further. Early 1900s, okay? Late 1800s. People didn't show themselves in articles of clothing to be viewed by others. They didn't say certain things because they wanted to maintain respect and honor towards each other. And that's a time that it's like, I wish we can get back to sometimes. Because now when we're talking and, you know, you see people walk around, and it's like, that would have been disgraceful 100 years ago. The verbiage that we're using in free speech and just what we're saying to each other, just buddy, buddy. You know, even me from being in the military, if you were in the military, you know, definitely we loved each other, but we didn't speak nice to each other at all. And it was normalized, and it's continually being normalized. But the response that we should have is, instead of it being normal, Jesus says blessings are though when we have nothing apart from him, and then blessing from mourning though the sin in the world. When Jesus, for an example, when he wept at the tomb of Lazarus, it sounds weird, right? If we know the story, he brought back Lazarus from the dead, right? And prior to going to see Lazarus, when people were coming to him, Jesus, you need to get here. You need to come. And he's like, I'll get there when I get there. And Lazarus dies. And then Jesus goes and mourns. And yes, he did. He mourned for his friend. That is normal human nature. But sometimes you wonder, like, what is it? Why would Jesus mourn something that he's going to bring back? And it's because he was mourning the sin in the world. He was mourning for the fact that sin was in the world taking place. He even wept over Jerusalem because they rejected God's peace. He wept and mourned for the state of our world. So when we mourn in times like this, we need to do the same. We need to weep for our country, our world. We need to weep for the sin that is being shown as normal. We need to weep on our hands and knees and say, Lord, this isn't normal, and I'm sorry that sin is such a normal thing now. I'm sorry that sin is praised. I'm sorry that people are stepped all over by others on social media just because they didn't agree with what they said. I'm sorry we live in a world like this. I'm sorry that we're not showing the light of you to outshine what the world is showing us. We need to mourn. And those who will mourn, when we put ourselves in that position, when we humble ourselves before God, he comforts us. He gives us rest. So when the world is mocking tragedy, celebrating death, and turning violence into headlines or memes, we mourn the families that are struck by this tragedy. We mourn the families of the children in the school shootings. We mourn Charlie Kirk's wife. There's a memorial going on right now, so we pray that they're safe. We mourn for the world that is living in a world of sin. And we pray for them, and we pray for that. And in our mourning, we show people that God deeply cares by putting our arms around them and saying, I know this is tough. I know this is hard. But God's got our back. And God will bring us comfort in these times. And then it goes on that blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. So meekness, this what we talked about a little earlier, is meekness just being gentle and kind. So meekness is strength under control. So Jesus, having all authority, yet he came gentle and lowly. And before Pilate, he remained silent, even to the point of being crucified on a cross, when all he had to do was call down a legion of angels. And he chose not to. He chose to not be worldly because he knew the power of his Father. So when the world is twisting our words and the world compares meekness with weakness and instead says power, dominance, and outrage are the only way that people can be heard, and people demand we win at all costs. That's what happened a few weeks ago. Somebody decided, oh, I'm going to win at all costs. Our response as followers of Christ is that we show strength under the guidance and protection of God and under His control. So instead of responding with rage, we live with gentleness and confidence in Jesus Christ. But like I said before, that doesn't mean that we shy away. That doesn't mean that we step back and go, oh, we're supposed to be gentle. We're supposed to be submissive, yes, to God, not to the world. The world can kiss whatever they want to kiss. I don't listen to the world. I don't want to listen to the world. I want to listen to God. And when God says, don't do this, I'm not going to do it. When God says that this type of behavior is not to be blessed, I won't bless it. We need to speak truth. We need to speak life into the church, into people around us. And it doesn't mean that we don't like people. It doesn't mean that we are against people. We love all people, for all people are created in the image of God. But that does not mean that we have to accept the sinful behavior of people. We are all sinners, yes. But it's only through Christ that we are redeemed. The thing that gives me joy and happiness in my life is knowing that I have been saved by Christ. Without Christ, I am nothing. Without Christ, I am eternally damned, separated from Him. And we love others because God first loved us. We show others the love of Christ because we're like, look, there is a better way to live. So when the world is pointing fingers and saying, you have to accept me. No, I don't. I don't have to accept the sin that you're committing. I love you as a brother and sister in Christ, but you need to become a brother and sister in Christ. You need to repent. But that doesn't mean that we need to point fingers and flip tables. Well, Jesus flipped tables, but that's a whole different sermon. Okay, but we don't need to react. We don't need to become reactive to it. We speak truth. And like I said, I do not know. Political beliefs doesn't bother me. Don't care. You're not even going to know mine. Okay? But one thing, whether or not you like Charlie Kirk, and like I said, I'm speaking about him because his was most viewed. Okay? I don't know the other people very well. But Charlie Kirk, the one thing that I admire, I'm not saying I agree with everything he's ever said. I haven't listened to everything he's ever said, so I can't make that claim. But everything that I've heard and seen, while sometimes he did raise his voice, he was never combative towards somebody. So is that an example that we should see in our life? Speak up for what we believe in. Speak up for God. But that doesn't mean that we have to fight back physically or anything like that. But we need to stand up. The church needs to become bold. The church needs to become vocal. Christians need to speak up. Because God has been taken slowly out of everything. God is coming out of churches. God can't be said in this instance. God shouldn't be shared in this instance. Okay. You say that. I'll respect like the private place or the business. But that doesn't mean that I am going to not declare God. That doesn't mean that I am not going to share the gospel. And it's another thing that I remember Jermaine saying last week about teachers praying for their students before they came in. Because while they're not allowed to share the gospel in schools, that doesn't mean the teachers can't pray for their students. We can do things, but we need to speak up. And then our last point this morning, I think it's our last point. I'll make it our last point. We're going to part two next week, come back. Okay, But blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Not partially, not three quarters of a tank, filled. Jesus, his greatest desire was to do the Father's will. So in today's reality, the world hungers for wealth, influence, self-indulgence. We see entertainment, we see politics, we see social media taking center stage. And while holiness is mocked, and it's because the devil does not want the world to see the kingdom of God. So Christians need to stand up and share the light in a dark world. Christians need to speak up. So our response needs to be that we hunger for God's word. We live out our lives shaped by his truth. When we make mistakes, because we all do, we ask for forgiveness. We repent. We get back up. We walk forward. We dust ourselves off. We say, sorry, Lord. Breathe. Let's keep moving. You keep moving forward. So instead of hungering for the next debate or scandal, we hunger for justice, purity, revival. And I truly believe that something is stirring in the world right now, and I am praying. I'm like, oh, let's go. Let's do this. Let's have another Jesus revolution. Let's blow it up. And I'm praying for that revival to happen. So church, what we've walked through and what we're still walking through over the past couple weeks, months, years, keep going back. You can find something. It's not easy. It's not fun. It's not normal. But what Jesus has shown us is that blessing comes to those who are poor in spirit when we mourn over sin, when we live with meekness, and when we hunger and thirst for righteousness with him, and he will fill us up. Amen? So next week, we're going to finish the Beatitudes, and we're also going to continue to look at a world through the lens of Christ. So just to kind of recap, the world says, be strong, be proud. Jesus says, admit your need and dependence on me. The world says, avoid pain, chase your comforts. Jesus said, mourn over sin and I will comfort you through it. The world says, social media, grab it, fight for it, win it at all costs. Jesus says, be meek, quiet, and gentle. And trust me to give you everything that you need. The world says hunger for wealth, fame, recognition. Jesus says hunger for the righteousness, and you will be filled. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would guide us and be with us as we move forward. Lord, I pray right now that we would not be quiet. I pray right now that churches around the world, Christians around the world would stand up. I pray that your revival would sweep through this nation, sweep through our towns, sweep through our communities, and impact the world. Because while social media, the news, everything that the world has to offer is trying to stifle you, I pray that we would be bold enough and stand firm in our faith because you rule over all. And when we show the light of the world, while they can take us, while the world can push us over, we're thankful that you have conquered the world. We praise you that you have conquered sin and given us the opportunity to live with you. Because when we accept you into our heart, you fill us to completion. And Lord, I just pray that as today we walk out of this church desiring to glorify you more than we ever have before, because the world needs to hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And we want to be the ones that continue to share it with them. In your name we pray. Amen.